You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, life is unique. You know, when we live a unique life, we live a daring life. We start to carve out this original life, and funny enough, we start to wonder if we're actually doing it right. You know, instead of realizing there is no formula, there is no cookie-cutter strategy, and we start to question ourselves, wondering if we're ever going to do the right thing, if we're following the right protocol, if we're writing to the right specific strategies and standards, or are we going to fail, or are we going to ultimately succeed? You know, I think everybody listening who's either created a career that nobody else was doing will understand that this applies to you. I think ultimately anybody that wants to live off the grid, you know, wants to live off the land or create their own life or, you know, independently farm or do their own thing will understand. As well as anybody that's defied some sort of health death sentence. You know, some of us have gone through the health system, and a lot of people didn't come through, but some people are still living with conditions that people never dreamed they could, or overcoming cancer, or overcoming other disease. Or for anybody that's ever gone against the odds, and come out the other side intact, and even better than ever. This show's really for you, because tonight we're talking about why we don't need to quit. Why to not quit what we're doing, and why to believe in the process, and to stop questioning ourselves. You know, it's interesting because a lot of times we're doing something that's off the grid or it's original life or we're going against all odds or we're beating the odds. We wonder if we're doing it right. Is this right? Is this the way to do it? I don't know. Is there a formula? Is there a strategy? Is there a protocol? Is there some standards? Are there some permits I need to get to do this? No. And we have to stop judging ourselves or wondering if we're doing the right process. And also we have to put a time out on questioning ourselves, because every time we question ourselves, what happens? We get derailed off of what we're doing. You know, Bill, we were talking about this on break.
Yeah.
We were talking about how it's interesting about living a uniquely original life. And I remember you asked me the question, what does it mean
right, to
live a uniquely original life? And I think it starts with that no one you
actually,
know.
I asked you what it's like to live an original, unique life.
Oh, so
you just
that changes everything.
It does.
That changes everything.
I'm kidding.
We got to start all over.
Yeah. Okay. Good night, folks. You know,
it was a good one. We're gonna sing some songs now. Kumbaya. Yeah. All that good stuff. No, but you know, I think whether it's originally unique or uniquely original life, it's that I think the first thing about how to know what it means is that no one is doing it. And I think this can be classified to everybody in this world is actually living a unique life, but and nobody is in the same shoes as we are.
Right.
Right. So nobody's doing it. And I think it's interesting how we have a tendency to want to know if we're doing it right, even though we're original.
And so how can you know if we're doing it right when there's no, you know, there is no other me out there?
Exactly.
You know, so what's right isn't really the right question we should be asking, is it? I mean, am I living it right for me?
Exactly. Because nobody's doing it your way. You know, like, I'm not a, you know, Burger King. We make it for
yeah, right,
your way, right?
Exactly.
So nobody's doing it your way, and nobody's going to like the exact same things you like.
Yeah.
There's not another Bill out there
right, that's
identical to Bill.
Which is probably a good thing when you think about it.
I think I ran into your evil twin the other day.
it was probably me, you know. I am a Gemini, you know, so
that's right.
You probably ran into me when I, you know, at a bad time.
That's right. yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you took me out to the bar. We had a good time.
All right. Yeah, you didn't hear that, Greg.
So no one else is doing it. That's what makes it uniquely original, unique life. No one else is doing it. And I know a lot of times people say, oh, well, Kim Kardashian has a unique life. Or
does she ever?
Or whoever has a unique life. But it's like we all have a unique life. And I think that's one of the problems with, you know, magazines and TV and stuff like that nowadays is a lot of times we try to, you know, to sync ourselves up or trying to judge ourselves against what other people are doing. I think another thing that makes you realize that what a unique life is that there are no reference books. There are no books on how to live Bill's life, how to successfully live Ashley's life. They don't exist. They're not out there. There's no books out there on the shelf at Barnes & Noble or on Amazon.
That's true.
On the one click that says, Ashley, okay, we have a book for you. It says, How to Successfully Live Ashley's Life Today. Buy it with the one click.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Well, and I'll even take this probably one step further. Because you know I'm a practicing Christian, Ashley, and a lot of Christians, the Bible, that's how to live. Well, I mean, even the pastor at my church was like, yes, this is the way to live, but you have to apply this to your circumstances, your journey in life. So anybody else out there who happens to be whatever religion or that you follow or spiritual that you follow, you can read. The philosophical or religious, directives, but you have to apply that to your own situation, because no one else can do it for you.
No one else can live your life.
Yeah.
And I think we have a tendency of looking toward other people as mentors. I like that word, your mentor. Or, who do you follow or who has the most impact on your life? And I think in the last 15 years, I think that's changed drastically. I think especially for, my age group and the younger age groups as well.
Yeah.
I think because we're all trying to forge our own way through everything, it's so different. Even the degrees that people get their degrees in at school are things that weren't offered 10 years ago.
Right.
The stuff that people are making money doing wasn't around.
Right.
The stuff that we want to do, the awakening hadn't happened yet. So all this stuff surrounding this means that, there's new stuff that we can't sit there and look toward a book. We can't look to a history book and say, oh, how did that happen then? Well, we're creating this. And so the idea of going back to reference books and trying to figure out how your life is doesn't hold water. What about, when your life is uniquely original, when your friends don't understand you?
Yeah, if not even your friends or even your own family, how about that one?
When your family doesn't understand you.
Which, I can relate to that in a lot of ways.
They think you're crazy. You're making bonehead decisions. Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
In Bill's case, why would you want to move there? And why would you want to do this? In my case, why would you try to, win an uphill battle when you could make money in any other industry? It doesn't make any sense. And I get it. But at the same time, there's things that we're called to do. And if we're living this uniquely original life, we actually accept the calling. And that calling normally isn't something that other people have a calling to. I mean, so if you're going to accept the calling, you got to be original. And I think that's interesting because a lot of times friends and family literally get that glazed look on their face when you try to explain what you do.
There's a song going through my head right now. Frank Sinatra. I did it my way.
That was good.
And I apologize, Frank, for ruining that. But
I did it my way. It's true. And a lot of people have that that blank look on their face. Like, don't you like when you describe what you do and you know that they've already, they shut you out of their mind?
Yeah.
And you wonder why they're making the drink a lot more stout this next time when you're talking. So you really don't want to hear anything I have to say. And family is part of that. Your friends and family have a tendency of not understanding what you're doing, especially when it's something that's new, it's innovative, that's not understood. Something that maybe isn't something that they've ever been taught or they understand. I mean, I've had conversations when I was younger. I always was very open-minded. I always been a very open-minded child and open-minded, teenager and open-minded now. And I'm back to the child state again. And I listen to things that I'm very open-minded. And I feel and I know when things are right and when things are real and when things are, congealing. And then I also feel when things aren't. But I think it's interesting when people have conversations with people and that people can't even understand where they come from. I mean, like, what are you talking about? And they get the glazed look, and they automatically just tune them out. And in those situations, when I'm around people where that happens, I always go, let's get a beer.
Right.
And they're like, huh? And it's like, I was like, beer. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, now they woke up. Beer, where?
They didn't hear anything I just said for the last 2 minutes, you know? But it's okay, because I realize that there's a certain level of knowledge and level that our friendship or relationship can be at. Some friendships can go that whole distance. Others can't. Yeah. Others can't, okay? And you have to either accept that and decide I can deal with this, or I can't deal with it, or I have to have my friends understand what I do, or it doesn't matter to me if they don't understand what I do. I mean, I went to lunch with a lady about a month ago, and she's a producer out in California, and it was funny. We were talking, and she goes, yeah, all my friends have no clue what I do. I go, how hard is it to figure it out? She's like, they don't listen. And they don't really want to know.
Right.
And so she's like, it's really nice that you know exactly what I do and you understand. And I go, yeah. I was like, so how many friends do you have like that? She's like, you.
That's pretty much it.
And I think there's one other. And then my business partner in California. I go, there you go. So you got three, right? I was like, so how do you feel about the others? And she's like, I keep them at arm's distance. I can hang out with them when I want to. But sometimes it just doesn't work in the longevity. And then sometimes she goes, I get pissed sometimes that people don't actually take a step to just figure out what I do. Like, they think I don't do anything. And she goes, sometimes that upsets me. But I said, but that's your deal, you know?
Yeah.
So in return, we're going to be talking more about living our uniquely original life and how to know what that means. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, life is unique, and when we live a unique life, we live a daring life. You know, what does it mean to live a uniquely original life at this time and space? You know, I think we talked earlier about, you know, that no one's doing it, that there's no reference books, you can't look at any of that, and that our friends and family don't seem to understand when we're living this unique life because they don't understand what we're trying to do or where we're going with it or how this is going to work or any of this because they haven't seen anybody else do it before. You know, I mean, what are you doing, Bill? For God's sakes, what do you think you're doing with your life? And you're like, but I know what I'm doing. I have an idea.
Well, and I'll give you a perfect example. My youngest brother, a couple years ago, he and his wife bought their first house. And, you know, they live in Southern California, too. And so housing prices aren't cheap down there, you know.
No, they're not.
You know, for show. And so let's just say that, you know, at the time, Tommy wasn't exactly breaking the bank, you know, as far as he had a good job and a decent living. But we were all worried, oh, my God, how are you going to carry the mortgage? And, you know, of course, they had their first child on the way.
Oh, first house in Southern California, mortgage, yeah, marriage, child.
So, and so, you know, we were just like, really, Tommy, are you sure you don't want to, you know, stick it out at dad's house a little bit longer, you know, until you can, you know, save some money back, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, look, folks, relax. I got this. All right. Almost 3 years later, you know, they had their second child. He's, you know, I mean, and the house isn't, you know, it's not a manse, you know, but, it's a house. And,
that's what matters. He's doing it on his own.
And he's doing it on his own.
But everybody was like concerned. Oh God.
Yeah.
He's going out there to the middle of nowhere, to California. He's got to do what he's got to do, you know? And it's interesting how when we move away from family, first off, that's the first strike. Oh, God, I don't know if Bill can do this. I don't know if Ashley can do this. And then the rest of it is you're forging this whole thing that they're just concerned about. And I think it's hard sometimes, though, when your family doesn't understand or your friends don't understand, the best thing to do is to find at least one or two people who do understand. And those are normally people that have also forged their life somehow. They've created something out of nothing. They've created something that nobody said they could do. You know, you'll never do this.
Well, Thomas Edison, okay? Which, you know, okay, you know, not going to model my life after Thomas Edison, but he's a good example. You know, when he was inventing the light bulb, he failed 100 times before he finally got it right.
And that was about inventing something.
Yeah.
And for other people that go, well, I haven't invented anything. Well, think about trying to get the leg up. Think about moving up in your career and failing and having people say no and gatekeepers say no and no and no. And it's the same thing as Thomas Edison failing on a product and keep doing it. And eventually he did it. But you know what? He could have sat there and said, you know what? Nobody's done this before. Or he could have said, is there a book on how to invent the light bulb? I got to look at something because I think I'm doing it wrong. Right? I mean, and a lot of us look at our life and go, I got to be doing something wrong. And a lot of times it's because of media. Okay? It's because of the TV. It's because of all kinds of magazines that show that somebody's got all this money. And you start comparing yourself to, that guy has a helicopter. You know, this guy has this. This woman does this. And a lot of times when we compare ourselves, it makes our life look less good. And it also, I think, we also start to believe that we're not doing something right. And I think that also comes from the fact that a lot of times we, as unique life livers, have no sounding board. No one to soundboard off of. And I think it's very important to start finding people around you that actually have some of the same values, meaning that they're trying to forge their path too. They're not going by the way that's been done. They're not going by the tried and true. They're going by the uniquely, totally you factor. And if you can find other people who are doing that, you won't seem so odd anymore. You won't seem so out of place. You won't seem like such a fish out of water. You'll actually be part of something that's going on. And also, you know, birds of a feather flock together. If other people are going some direction, it's going to help you propel yourself to continue to go in a direction.
In the words of Henry David Thoreau, you can't be afraid to march into the beat of a different drummer. If anything works in this world, it's because somebody took a chance and did something against the grain. And lo and behold, now, for some people it didn't work out, but for some people it did. And you just have to forge that own path in your life because, I mean, think about it, Ashley. If we were all the same, we all did the same thing, would life be worth living at that point?
It'd be boring.
It'd be pretty boring.
I mean, if everybody was a Bill and an Ashley... And just think about the nameplates. Just think about the custom...
I know, right?
License tags. I mean, you'd be so screwed. Okay, well, there'd only be Ashley.
Or Bill.
Ashley with a Y, with an L-E-Y, with an L-E, with an L-E-I, with no E, with a Bill, with a Bill, with what? Billy.
Is it
Billy 1, Billy 2, Billy 3?
Is it a Bill? Is it a Billy? Is it a Will? Is it a Liam?
Is it William?
Yeah, William or Liam.
Is it Dick?
You know? Well, that's Richard.
Okay.
And what are you calling me? What are you trying to say here?
Why is it that a lot of people that are named Richard like to go by that?
Well, I think Dick happens to be a nickname for Richard going way back.
Yeah, but sometimes my friend always says it, you know.
But for obvious reasons, in the last, say, 20 or 30 years, that's fallen out of style. I haven't known anybody that goes by Dick for, like, oh, gosh, 20 years.
I know some of them.
But they're older, right?
Yes,
and it's a shame because you know maybe that's a comment on how negative our society has gone. But you know, I mean, Dick used to be one of the more common male names.
I guess you're right.
You know, and then for obvious reasons, you know, for you know vulgar reasons, you know, we stopped doing that.
My friend said that everybody that actually chooses to go by that is that.
Well, and there you go. You know. So,
he said
so
their
now,
attitude speaks for itself.
So now it's Rich or Richie or
I would
you know,
go by
whatever.
Rick.
Rick,
that's I like a, Rick.
You know, so
I probably actually I'd go by Richard, Ricky.
Yeah,
get old Ricky. I'll be like Ricky Ricardo or something. I'd have some name. I don't know. I like Billy.
Lucy, I'm home.
We'll call you William from now on. Okay.
Please don't.
William the Third. William the Third.
I'm not a prince from England.
Come on, William. Let's do this. So, yeah, we're talking about having no sounding board. And I think sometimes we don't have anybody to talk to. We don't have anybody to springboard ideas by, see if we're doing the right thing. We don't have that board. So, guess what? We feel isolated. And I think when we feel isolated, we feel like we're not doing the right thing or we feel like we're missing out on life. And I know like some people that are like really great inspirational people that by feeling isolated, they decided to get back into the groove and stop really working on what they were working on, you know, just to not feel isolated. And I've been there before when I'm writing because I do a lot of my work solo. I mean, you know, I mean, besides the show, I do a lot of my work solo, a lot of my writing, a lot of my stuff that I do. And it can be very isolating feeling. It can be very quiet. and very determined and dedicated resource as far as you have to do something and you're taking care of it. And we sometimes wonder, am I doing this right? Am I being all I can be? Am I taking advantage of everything I can? Am I doing this original life correctly? And I think it's interesting why we question ourselves. And I want to start talking about that, because I think when we're trying to live this unique life and we're doing it and we believe in it, still, you can believe as much as you can, but there's still going to be doubt. Am I doing this for the right reasons? Am I doing this because I know what I'm doing? And a lot of times when we start doubting ourselves, it becomes like this slippery slope. You know, are we doing it right? You know, do we know if we're doing this life right? I mean, you know, for the most part, we're going at it. You know, some things that, you know, some things are out there as far as, you know, we know how to do certain things. I mean, it's not like you're having to figure out how to walk again. I mean, unless you had to get out of a wheelchair and now you are having to figure out how to re-walk again, which is a possibility for tonight's show. You know, how do you do it? I mean, do you allow yourself to crawl? Do you allow yourself to use something to hold you up with and then walk? Or are you too destined into the fact of how you're supposed to be walking, how you're supposed to do the process? And I think the process with anything is an interesting scenario. I mean, I think that there's no one way to do a process.
And, you know, and especially if you're trying to do something that will benefit you and like to advance your goals, or you know, maybe advance your career, you know, to put it into a work context. You know, there's, you know, the old saying, Ashley, there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? And I think that even though fear of the unknown, and I've said this on previous shows, fear of the unknown is the number one fear to human beings, okay? Because you don't know how it's going to turn out. But we have to be able to overcome our fear of how it's all going to turn out, and just kind of take that leap into the unknown and just see what happens.
I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of the skin a cat comment, though. It always makes me thinking of actually skinning a cat.
Just an expression.
But I think it's funny how these expressions have become like modern day terms that nobody really thinks about the actual meaning of them. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it probably did begin, you know, long ago in medieval England or whatever.
People are
you
eating
know,
cats.
Yeah. You know, there's more than one way to do it. I mean, there's a lot of those sayings, you know, came from actual, you know, things. But, you know, it's just a figure of speech, Ashley.
We hope so.
I certainly don't go around skinning cats.
I hope not,
because
William.
I wouldn't know what to do with the pelt if I had one.
I hope not, William. William, I hope not.
That's Your Highness, William.
Your Highness, I love that. So when we return, we're talking about why we actually question ourselves when we're trying to live this unique life. What are we questioning ourselves for? And eventually we're going to talk about how we can actually stop questioning ourselves and begin to continue to live. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking about what makes a life unique. What makes my life unique? What makes your life unique? And I think a lot of times when we're living this unique life, we're living something out of the box, as you might say, out of the box. I'm living my life outside of the box. And you think about those things, and you go, how do I do that? You know, when you start living, and you start figuring it out, and you start meandering around, and you're feeling around for what you need to do, and you get some successes, you get some failures, what have you. And I don't believe really in failures at all. I believe that if you can keep trying to work on things, it's never really a failure. However, let's just say you get some successes and things are working, and all of a sudden you hit a wall. You don't know which way to go. You don't know way to turn. You don't know the next way to advance or to move on. And I think in those situations, we become clouded. We cloud our judgment. We begin to look outside of ourselves for reassurance. And when we're living this uniquely original life, going outside of ourselves to figure out what to do makes no sense. It makes no sense, because outside of ourselves doesn't know what we're supposed to do. It's like walking into a convenience store and you don't know what you want to drink. So you look inside the coolers and you stand there for a long time, and all of a sudden you ask the attendant, can you pick me out something to drink? They're going to probably pick out something that you don't like at all. I mean, you're probably a water person and they're going to pick out a Big Red. You might be a coffee person and they're going to pick out a 40 ounce. I mean, you asking somebody what you should be drinking is the same as looking to somebody else and saying, how do I live my life?
Or you might be doing a live radio show and all of a sudden your chair starts squeaking.
Bill's chair squeaks again.
Like, what is up with this chair?
Bill's got ghosts in his chair, okay? So Bill's got a ghost in his chair.
Sorry, Ashley. I'm trying not to do that.
But think about it. Know. It's like asking an attendant. It's like going to a restaurant, and I know people have done that, especially more women than men. Okay, uh-huh. I'll give you this. Go to the restaurant, you look at the waiter, and you go, what's good on the menu?
I've heard my girlfriend does that all the time.
And the waiter will say something that, one, something she probably can't eat. Something that's going to make her sick, like, ew. You know what they always tell me when I was younger, when I would ask this years ago before I realized you don't ask what other people want. And, you know, I don't eat meat or steak or beef or any of that. And they'd be like, oh, well, we have this 8-ounce filet covered in béarnaise sauce with a lobster crab stuff on the top with some cheese melted with a pork loin thing on the side. And I'd be like,
wow, that sounds really good.
I'd be like, oh my God, that's nasty. So the idea of asking somebody
actually,
else,
that sounds delicious.
The idea of asking somebody, well, they tell you the vegetarian diet. You know,
probably.
The idea of asking a waiter what you should eat and what's great there is like asking somebody else how they're going to live their life. I mean, he might have a formula for what he likes, but it's certainly not going to work for you. I mean, unless you're like, you know, long-lost Lynx soul star cousins, this isn't going to work. And even then, it's not your life. And a lot of times we look to that fast food mentality of how to live our life correctly. We look to this fast food mentality of how to get the answers that we're supposed to know. And I think that a lot of times we don't give ourselves the chance to realize that the answers will come when the answers are needed.
Right.
They'll show up. The options will be there. We don't have to sit there and freak out in the meantime, thinking, well, we're not where we need to be, or we need to be somewhere else, or that person's doing that, and maybe I should do that. You know, it's like when people get into businesses, and you see somebody get into a business, and you go, man, I should have done that. You know, or somebody's involved with a group of people. Oh, man, I need to hang out with these people. And it's like, you need to sit back and figure out what makes sense for you. I mean, what makes sense? And you know, we have to ask ourselves, why do we have a tendency of asking that attendant what we should drink? Why do we have a tendency of asking that waiter what's the best food?
Because it's a shortcut. I mean, I think that a lot of people, and sometimes even myself included, Ashley, you know, I mean, you and I work hard. You know, boy, do we work hard. But haven't you ever succumbed to the temptation of trying to, you know, maybe cut a corner or two? You
sure.
know? I mean, and I think that's kind of what it is. You know, if we can get the waiter to tell us what's good, or if we can get someone else, to do it for us, or if we can maybe find somebody who's been down that same path before and do what they did, then all that much easier for us to do it, right? It's kind of, you know, cutting corners. It's like, let's say I wanted to get rich, you know, and okay, well, gee, how did Warren Buffett get rich? I'll do what he did. You know, well, of course, that's not going to work, right? I mean, because
we don't need to go into his background.
Right, exactly. but I mean, you know, and I will say this, I even though, you know, no one else has walked down my path, I don't think there's anything wrong with using models.
I don't know if models really work.
Well, I mean, they don't if you try to do exactly the same thing, and you know, if for no other reason, you're not in that person's shoes.
Well, let me give an example. So, I mean, I've had people tell me, especially in the last 5 years, what I'm doing great and what I could change. And right. I've had a lot of people tell me things that they think if I did this, it would be that much better. And there's certain things that I've taken to heart and I've done, and it's become extra work. It's always extra work.
Sure.
Any sort of shortcuts don't work. They don't work for...
Not in the long term, anyway.
No. They don't work in the long term. And it's interesting how when you finally allow it to be, and you don't sit there and look at what other people are doing, because you really never knew where they started from. So, like, if you look at other people and you say, okay, they're in the same industry. Let's just say, like, you're in the same working industry. Even then, that's all you really have. I mean, to sit there and think about, to compare ourselves, I mean, we really have to create this unique life. And yeah, you can look at other people and say they had a work ethic. I'm going to mimic that work ethic.
Right.
Or they really cared about their family and their work. And so they were really, they tried to figure out how to balance it. So I'm going to think about how to balance it. But I think when we get any more into the actual pieces and parts of that person, besides maybe mantras or things that they live by, I think we start getting confused. Because at that point in time, we're no longer living our life. We're actually taking our life and comparing it to their life. And you can't do it. It's like comparing, it's not even comparing fruit anymore. You're comparing two different things. And I think we question ourselves because we wonder, are we doing this right? Are we creating this right? And I think if you look at your life from a different perspective, i.e., instead of saying, am I doing this life right? Be more like, how am I going to write the memoirs? How do I write the daily memoirs for my life, and how do I write it correctly? And I think also when we look at it from that perspective, from a day-to-day, an hour-to-hour, a day-to-day, a week-to-week, a month-to-month, a year-to-year experience, how far have I come? What have I created? And where am I going? And I think having that roadmap is so important. And being positive and understanding that sometimes we do have setbacks. But I also think the concept of throwing out altogether, am I doing it right, is first and foremost on how to really create that unique life. Because is there any right or wrong way? I don't think there is. I think the other reason why we question ourselves is we don't have a lot of help. We feel like we don't have any help.
And it's very lonely when you think that, you know, you have to do this all by yourself, right?
And sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes life, and life is a singular thing. You know, that's the case too. Like a lot of people don't realize that is that for the most part, you know, you're born on your own and you die on your own. And in the middle, you have experiences with yourself and with other people. But for the most part, you're living for you. I mean, yeah, you might be living for your wife, your spouse, your husband, your kids, your mother, your father, and living and loving them, but you're not living for them.
Right.
And I think sometimes we get confused on that specific because, you know, people are still confused with the fact that they think two halves make a whole when you get married, which is insane. It should be two whole people coming into a marriage, two whole people. Okay, two whole people, not two halves, make a whole. And I think a lot of times we go into that, you know, we don't realize too that it's important how we live because in the end, the only person, the only thing at the end when we've passed on is we have to actually report to ourselves. We have to sit there and say, I had the best life I could have. Nobody else is going to sit there and go, oh, Bill, you did this wrong or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or you should have done that. You know who's going to be saying that? You. Nobody else. Okay. Your girlfriend, your wife, your anybody. They're not going to say that. It's not about them.
Yeah. It's not St. Peter at the pearly gates.
Right? Going, well, Bill, let's go down the list here.
Yeah.
William, let's go down the list here.
Hey, Your Highness.
Your Highness, William. So we're talking about that because I think that help, and I think sometimes we don't really realize where help is and what help means. Help doesn't necessarily mean somebody's been through it and they're going to tell you all the ropes and how to jump through the agility course and how to get through the course in less than 5 minutes. Help usually comes from people in situations that you don't really necessarily see it as help. And help could be guidance. Help could be actually closing a door. Help could be opening a door. Help could be just listening. And a lot of times you don't realize that help also can be from watching your friends go through situations, from understanding that you're not alone in the fact that other people are going through growing pains. Other people are going through the pains of trying to understand what the heck they're going to do when they grow up. Because even though you could be in your 30s or 40s or 50s, you're still growing up. You haven't grown up. You haven't grown up until you die. I mean, we're always constantly learning and we're constantly living and we're constantly growing. And there's something to be said about that. And there's a lot of help that we can derive by just experiencing life and listening and being a part of other people's experiences. So stay tuned because we're going to talk more about why we actually question ourselves, discussing about uncharted waters and also that feeling of feeling like you're behind the eight ball. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, life is really unique. I mean, I'm living my unique life. I'm living my originally unique life. And a lot of times in this life of living this original life, guess what? I question myself. Am I doing it right? Am I on the right path? Are things going to work out? Are things going to go my way? Am I going to be successful? Am I going to fail? Am I going to have wasted all this time, or is it all going to come to fruition? And right before the break, we were talking and began talking about why we actually choose to question ourselves. And, you know, a lot of times it's because we wonder if we're doing it right. Are we doing the process right? Are we doing this correctly? As well as we feel like we're getting no help. We don't feel like we have any help from other people. And a lot of times that's not right. A lot of times people might not be saying, hey, I'm the help desk. I'm here to help you, Ashley, and I'm going to help you in any way I can.
You know, like if you're on certain websites, the little pop-up comes up, you know, hi, I'm this helper, you know, ask me a question.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way in real life.
And most of the time you go, God, I wish that thing would just close.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. Huh? It's only when you need help, right? It's like when you go into the bathroom, you know, at the Barnes & Noble, and you don't realize that you go into the stall with no toilet paper and there's not one other person in there. That's always fun. You know, and it's always...
You speak from experience, do we?
Yes, I do. Hi, Ashley. Hi.
Guilty.
Guilty as charged. So yeah, a lot of times we don't feel like we have help, but a lot of times we open our eyes, help is right there. And sometimes we can ask somebody. Sometimes we always make this decision that people, oh, they don't know what I'm dealing with. Oh, they'll have no clue what I'm talking about. Well, sometimes give people a chance. You would actually be surprised. I get surprised sometimes by just, basically my conscience will be like, hey, I'll think about something and I'll say, oh, that person's not going to know about that or who to talk to. And I'll just be like, hey, by the way, just FYI. And I'll say, and I'll be like, oh man, I was just thinking about that the other day. I have a contact for you. Let me hook you up with that person and make it a reality. Had I not said anything and thought, oh, they won't know what I'm talking about, then I would still be far away from whatever that goal was. I think that help is so important, and not to identify or label help as a specific thing, but to understand that help is there if you ask for it. Also, the other reason why we question ourselves, this is a big one. It's when we forge uncharted waters and uncharted lands, when there's things that we don't know, right? The unknown.
The fear of the unknown. Fairly enough.
And when we're charting these lands, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. How do we do this? I don't see anybody around. And I think that that's the interesting part about it is a lot of times our subconscious and our internal critic wants to say, well, you'll never do it anyway. You know, might as well stop here because this looks like a lot to take on.
Didn't we do a show recently on the inner critic?
We have. If you want to check it out, go to AshleyBurgess.com and check it out online. I got all the shows on there with a nice little bio and an explanation of it. And, you know, there's a lot of blogs that go with it as well. And when you're going through uncharted water and uncharted land, you have to accept the fact that you're going to do it your way.
Gonna do it my way.
Yeah, you've been doing the Frank Sinatra tonight, haven't you?
Yeah, and I apologize to Frank Sinatra.
That's awesome. Yeah, so when you go through that, the cool thing is that you are going through it. But the thing is that we question ourselves. Are we in the right place? Will the cab coming to pick me up? Will everything work out? Well, you know what? You got to make it work out. And we have to believe in the process. And I think that's what's so key is that there's a reason why you're doing what you're doing. There's a reason why you feel that you need to go this direction. There's a reason that keeps pushing you that way. Whether it's because you believe in something, whether it's because something registers to your higher self, whether because you speak so passionate and you believe in something, if you continue that direction, no matter if it's uncharted or not, you just got to believe in the process. Believe in the fact that you know within yourself somewhere, past that ego, past that angry, you know, inner critic that's telling you you can't, and allow it to be. And I feel sometimes, though, the thing that gets in our way is our age, or maybe the screw-ups we had. Because we've all screwed up, okay?
Except for you, Ashley.
I can't lie. I've screwed up. I've screwed up in my life. I mean, I've done some crazy things. I wouldn't say screwed up. I mean, there was a time when I was angry about it, but now I'm looking at it with great nostalgia, you know? But I screwed up in my life, in parentheses, screwed up, gotten myself off target. And because I was maybe a little older than 21 or 22 when I started pursuing my dreams, I felt like I was behind the eight ball. And some people out there listening tonight know what I'm talking about when you change careers or you made a life change and Bill holds up his hand right now, or you went through a divorce process, or you had to overcome a disease or almost death and had to resurrect yourself. or you realize that your thought process of life was being harnessed by materialism and basically being snubbed out, and you had to really regain your own personal life and have to throw away a lot of misconceptions. And going through that process, you can feel like you're behind the eight ball because you're like, if I would have had my eyes open to what's consciously real for the last 10 years, I could be here. Well, you know what? You weren't there, but you're here now. And so you have to let that go, because a lot of times we look at that as a deficit. We look at our past as something we want to sweep under the rug. And when people ask you about it, you don't want to talk about it. But I've recently, you know, in the last few years, embraced my past, and I'll sit there and go off on stuff that most people would never talk about. And normally I'll talk about it and people have a newfound respect for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
It takes courage to do that, because not a lot of people are at a place in their lives where they're comfortable doing that.
Yeah, most people don't sit there and go, yeah, I got crazy when I was young, got a DWI when I was 17, and da-da-da-da, and you know what? And most people don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because they're just
sweeping under the rug.
Yeah, because it's too close or it's too painful. But a lot of times we have to realize that we don't have to identify from these problems. We have to learn, but also it made us a lot of who we are today. I mean, in order to go through processes, you can't, for the most part, you could not have gone through nothing and had a completely sheltered life and never seen the other side and be completely enlightened. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Okay. So when people are really, really enlightened people, and they have that unique structure, and a lot of people listening know what I'm talking about, you haven't been a perfect angel. Okay. So let's get that out of the way. Okay. Most people listening tonight have not been a perfect angel, but we don't care. We'd rather you not be a perfect angel, because you actually get what we're talking about right now. Because everybody that's gone out there and tried some crazy stuff, everybody that's gone out there and done some crazy, crazy things and has actually can laugh about it and is living today to tell the tale, knows what they learned from going through the process, as well as waking up, as well as growing up and getting wiser. And I think that's a big overcoming of things that we have to deal with. And I think once you get past that point, it's kind of funny, like when I look at kids, you know, because I'm a therapist, and so a lot of my, you know, I'm a talk show host, a syndicated talk show host, a therapist, and also a life coach. And when I'm dealing with this stuff, sometimes I have kids that come in that are in their early 20s, and their parents are like, you've got to change them. You've got to make them see the light. I mean, this is crazy. They're going out all the time. They're partying all the time. They're making bad life decisions. And I got to stop this, because I'm not going to keep paying for their stuff. And they've got to get going, and they've got to get that graduate degree, or they're going to have nothing. Nothing. They're going to have nothing. And I sit there and I kind of laugh in the beginning, because I know how all kids are at certain ages. They're just right. That way. They're just kids. And you know what? Everybody does bonehead stuff. And I remember how I was at 20 and 21. I made some stupid choices.
And I think, you know, it's actually essential to do some of that bonehead stuff, because a lot of times the best education you get is the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, and a lot of times when we don't do that, we have a midlife crisis later on.
There you go.
And we break down, because yes. Everybody's got to act out somehow. Now, sometimes people internalize this, and it hurts them, and it makes them ill, but at some point in time, you have to be you at some point in time.
Right.
So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking more about why we question ourselves, and eventually we're going to talk about how you can stop questioning yourself today and what good that's going to do for you. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking tonight about how life is unique. And when we live a unique and original life, we live a daring life. We live a life worth living. We live a life outside of the box. We're not being regulated to what we have to do, what we think we need to do, or what society would deem us to do. Instead, we're doing what we know we should be doing. But a lot of times when we go down this road of originality and uniqueness, guess what? We question ourselves. Why? You know why we question ourselves a lot of times? Because we wonder if we know what we're doing. Are we doing it right? Are we doing it the way we should do it? But again, I stress the fact that when we question ourselves on what we're doing, you can't. There is no right way. There is no wrong way. I mean, there might be a right way and wrong way as far as your values and how you feel. But other than that, you're forging a life that nobody else has created, and you've got to do it your way.
You know, my mom has a little plaque above her desk at home. It says, there's a right way, and there's a wrong way, and then there's my way, which is more fun.
That's cool. Well, it's my way is the highway, right?
Right.
If mom's not happy, nobody's happy, right? But you're right, and then it's my way. And that's what's so key is that we all have our own way of doing things.
Yeah.
And to sit there and go, well, I don't think I'm doing it the right way. Or, man, I think they've done it better than me. I better sit back and watch. That's not going to get us anywhere. And, you know, the concept of thinking that we have no help. You know, when was the last time that you felt like, yeah, nobody helping you? I felt that before. But a lot of times help comes in different ways. Comes different people. And it's the way we define what help is. What does help mean to you? I mean, for some people, it goes, help means somebody gives me $1 million and I win the lottery.
Right.
Well, that's definitely help. But but normally, help comes in different ways, unfortunately. But it comes in ways that we not necessarily see it as help, but it propels us forward to living our unique life.
You know, and this is a little bit of a tangent, Ashley, but my grandmother has always believed that a lot of times the best way you help somebody is by not actually, quote unquote, helping them. Because let's say, I need some money because I'm, you know, down on my luck or whatever. But if you just enable destructive behavior, you know, like drugs, let's say, or alcohol, or, maybe just making bad financial decisions or whatever, by giving them more money, are you really helping them?
Oh yeah. The whole concept of enabling versus helping.
Yeah.
I've been in that position where I've been enabling. And I finally had to look at somebody and say, I'm done. I mean, I enabled them for 3 solid years.
Yeah.
And my deal was, in the back of my head, I didn't want them to hit rock bottom.
Right.
Okay? I didn't want them to hit rock bottom because I knew when they hit it, it was going to hurt.
Yeah.
And I kept stopping it. And then eventually, guess what? Guess what that person does? That person hates on you.
Mm-hmm. Bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, yep. They hate on you. Like I had a friend of mine that was going down the drugs, doing the stuff, and one night I get a call on my anniversary of all things. It's great. Greg and I were celebrating our anniversary, and I get a call from jail.
Whoops.
And I was like, what happened? And I said, I told you not to be out in crowds, and I told you not to be driving around. And they were like, you had something to do with this. And I was like, whoa, I am not part of the police department, okay?
Like, what did I do? Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it became my issue. It became something I had to get them out for. And I ended up not. I ended up, and I finally said to them, I said, you know, you've got to take care of this on your own. And honestly, until you get sober or until you find a sobriety or until you go to a rehab facility, don't call me. And if it wasn't like 4 days after that, they checked into a rehab facility. And I realized that this whole time I had been holding their hand.
Right. I mean, you had the best of intentions. I mean, there's an old saying, from those of us who come from West Texas, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
But the thing is, I had to sit there and check myself.
Yeah.
Because when we enable people to do things that, they probably wouldn't do. For example, if I had stopped giving the money and helping out, the drug use would have stopped for him because he wouldn't have had any money to get
right.
drugs. Okay.
And he would have hit rock bottom, which in his case, it sounds like probably would have been the best thing long run. Short term, it would have hurt.
Yeah, it would have been way better. I mean, like I was over there and I think a lot of it was all personally about me because I was thinking about myself the whole time. Well, I wouldn't want to hit rock bottom. Well, I don't want to have this happen. And it was all personal thing when in actuality, I was over there aiding and abetting and changing this person's future every single day because of my hand and the stake in the matter. And in actuality, I should have sat back and said, this isn't your life. You can't control this person. What you're trying to do here is you're trying to take this person off their path. And yeah, sometimes if somebody asks you for help, that's one thing. You know, Bill, help me. I need some help. I need you to give me some guidance and tell me how I can better my life. But when somebody's not asking for that and you keep doing it, and that's not right. I mean, that's not fair. I mean, and eventually that person's going to have to get to their path, going to hit rock bottom, and then they're going to have to correct. It's just like the stock market. It goes up and down and eventually it corrects. Just like the housing market, it goes up and down, inflation up and down, and it has to correct. Just like when you try to take a person off their path, eventually it's going to have to self-correct. And they're going to go where you didn't want them to go. But eventually, most of the time, they're going to go back up.
Right.
But it's not because of us. It's because of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about questioning ourselves, a lot of times, remember we were talking about right before the break earlier, we were talking about how we feel like we're behind the eight ball. And for anybody that's done stuff, you know, anybody that's gotten crazy, that's lived a life worth living, knows what it's like to feel like, you know, I wish I was 24 again and convincing what I'm doing.
If I give in a time machine, I would go back and just smack myself upside the head. What were you thinking?
Back at 17, right?
Yeah.
And you quit smoking, by the way.
Why?
Why did you start this freaking habit, you know? I mean, like, seriously, like, those are the things that you sit there and you go, bam, 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 you know, this is crazy stuff, you know? And that's the key, is that we have to sit there and let that be. But we can't keep beating ourselves up for something that we can't change. And no, I don't have a time machine in the studio, Bill. But if I did, we would go back, because I'd like to see what you look like when you were 17. You could see me. You could see me
at
17.
Me, you don't want to see that.
I look 12. I look 12.
I look like Waldo.
And I look 12.
Yeah, so.
So we would be a pair, I'll tell you that. We'd
right.
be a fancy. No, we're fancy now. We're fancy now. It'd be a fancy pair. Yeah, that's the key, is that a lot of times we look at that and we say, man, we were way behind schedule. But are you really behind schedule? Would you really come to all this knowledge and wisdom if you would have been like, let's say like Tiger Woods, give an example. I think it's interesting how Tiger has always been in golf. His dad has pushed him into golf since he was like, what, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Yep. And pushed is the right word for it.
And he's never screwed up until recently.
Right.
And it took him to screw up, and I have a feeling other things might come out. But it took him to screw up later on in life. And the thing is, sometimes when you screw up earlier in life, it's so much better. Okay, it really is, because one way or another, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But also, you have to look at it and say, if you were forced into something your whole life, that might not be at all what you want to do. And maybe that seems like the glory life, the glitter, the glitz, the glam, the money. But, you know, sometimes living life, to live life for you is the way that we have to do it to feel good about what we have. And so it's like, you can't look at it like, oh, well, I'm not Tiger Woods. I don't have all this money, and I'm not, you know, part of the PGA Tour, and I don't have all this going on in my life, and people don't, I don't have sponsorships by, you know, Tag or Rolex or Buick or what have you. But at the same time, you have to sit there and look at your life and see what it is, because a lot of this stuff really doesn't really matter. I mean, a lot of times we're being sold a bill of goods on a daily basis that we think we have to live up to. And we think that defines our success, right? So we feel like all the cars and all the stuff equals our success. But does it really define success? Or is it a byproduct of financial success based on a system that's been implemented? Okay? And a lot of people listening are maybe going to a different type of process and maybe going a little against the grain. And so in that actuality, you have to realize that the system has to catch up for you. The system hasn't been in place for you. You're an original person. And eventually, once it does, not only will your heart be fulfilled, which it is, but also financially you'll be fulfilled. And I think a lot of times we feel like we could get there faster. And that's a lot of things that I question sometimes, is that, God, why can't we just get there just a little faster,
take a
for
shortcut.
God's sake?
For example, win the lottery. Why can't I just win my $1 million by winning the lottery?
Man, that would be nice.
It would be nice.
We're going to win the lottery.
Let's go. Let's do it.
The life lottery.
Right.
No, but we have to feel like we want to get there faster. And I know how everybody feels about wanting to get there faster, because I felt that way a lot. I mean, I felt that way a lot, where it's like, man, I just wish I could just get there. If I could just take, you know, shave off a couple of months here, shave off a couple of things there. But you know what? I have to believe in the process. And that's something that I work on at least every bi-daily, bi-weekly deal, is to sit there and realize there's a process. I believe in myself. I've created stuff. I've co-created things. I have help, even though sometimes the help might be labeled in a different way. Sometimes it's help because people genuinely want to help you. I mean, and I think when you're going along, you're doing what's right, and you're being true to your purpose and your honest feeling of where you're supposed to be at, other people are going to gravitate to you. I mean, that's why Bill and I work together. I mean, because, you know, if I was doing something that he didn't respect, he wouldn't be here. Right. You know, and that's the key. And so I think a lot of times in life, you have to do what you need to do and be honest about it. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to run from you, or they're just not going to be around, or they're just not going to answer the phone, but there's going to be other people that do. So stay tuned. When we return, we'll be talking more about why we do question ourselves and then why we should also stop questioning ourselves and begin living our life. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking tonight about living that uniquely original life. We're talking about, you know, why do we question ourselves? Why do we question ourselves when it comes to living this life? You know, right before the break, we were talking about we sometimes want to get there faster. We want to get to that point faster, A to B faster, because you know how much better life would be if we're at B instead of A. And it's funny because then all we have is C. And then when we get to C, we want to be at D. And then we want to be D, and then we want to be F.
Then let's go directly to X.
Why?
And then Z.
What about A1? A2. You know, I mean, I always like it when you go get tickets for a concert and you don't realize that there's like seats in the front that have different numbers.
Right.
And you go, yeah, I got front row, baby. And then you're like, no, you don't. You got eighth row. And by the way, you should have looked at the seating chart just a little bit more.
Right.
Because you're stuck in the pit over there somewhere. And that's life. It's like you can never, we always want to be somewhere we're not. But in actuality, aren't we already there?
In other words, there's another way of saying this is sometimes you think the grass is greener on the other side.
Yeah, the grass is greener.
In fact, if we go to your YouTube channel under Ashley Burgess, I bet there's some videos about that same subject.
There are some videos on the same subject, and you can also go to ashleyburgess.com and check out some
and,
other
and for our listeners tonight, that's called a shameless plug.
That's a bill plug right there. We'll call those bill plugs.
Bill plugs.
Bill plug. Yeah, so Bill plugged that, and I like that he did that because a lot of times we want to be there faster. And I've been there before where I don't even like where I'm at because I'm too busy trying to get somewhere else, right?
Yes.
And we've all been there where it's like, think about it in just the idea of living day-to-day life where you go to a party and you know there's another party going on. So you're at the first party and you're like, I bet the other party might be better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then you get in the car and you go to the other party and guess what? The other party wasn't better.
It's probably worse.
So then you go, maybe I should go back to the first party. Well, you know what? Everybody's already left that. So you got to go where you go and chill out and make it happen. You know, don't be running through life going, well, there's got to be a bigger, better deal.
What's the saying you have? You got to fit in.
Get in where you fit
in. Get in where you fit in, yeah.
Get in where you fit in and don't keep looking for the bigger, better deal because guess what? It's not there. It's just not there. I mean, the bigger, better deal is whatever the bigger, better deal is. It's not about, you know what I'm saying? It's not about what other people say the bigger, better deal is or what you think might be the bigger, better deal because normally our minds will control it into the fact that we end up going to the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. And I think the last reason that I want to talk about on this show right now of why we question ourselves on a daily basis is that we actually question the actual method. We question the concept that slow and steady is good. We question the method here and there because we want to go faster. We've seen other people, we think, go faster to attain their goals. Some people seem like they do it overnight. And we wonder, why does it take me so long?
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg. You know, why can't I be Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
Or, what's his name? Snapchat. I forget the kid's name who... he just became a billionaire off of Snapchat.
Well, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it just certified. Yeah, he's a billionaire now. So, you know, and I don't think he's even 24.
Wow. That puts it in perspective. Yeah,
it does.
And I think a lot of times the process, and it's like, what do we look for? And I got something that recently happened the other day. I was looking at these houses, on social media, and you know how people always post, wow, look at that house.
Right.
And there was this house that had like this long, like it was like a long bridge that started, I guess, on this kind of like the side mountain. It was in Australia. And so the house goes over the ocean and it's like kind of attached on stilts, but there's like a drawbridge thing that connects to it. And I was like, wow, that would be awesome to have a house like that. That must be amazing. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, that part of Australia That exact part, I'm not going to go into all this, but the exact part of Australia is known for great whites. I started thinking about like how you could really swim in that water. And you really can't unless you had like a metal containment of some sort where you had swimming. Okay, think about this. So it's really you're on an ocean that you can't swim in.
Actually, here's the good thing about that. If I were the owner of the house, I probably have, you know, people working for me, right? You know, the staff or whatever. You're fired, so you catapult them out into the ocean.
Oh, my God.
And then you just stand on the balcony and watch what happens.
So. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So that, you're like Dr. Evil over here. So Bill, once everything comes out, he's going to become Dr. Evil. He's going to have a cat with no hair like stroke the cat and look at me. Funny,
and a mini me.
And tell me to call him His Highness. Yes. Okay. So that is. No, but think about it. The house was really cool. But then I was like, you start thinking about the logistics of living in said house. And all of a sudden, this desire to have said house really goes away. You know what I mean? Like, I've had people literally, I look at stuff like, I'll be like, wow, look at that cool Madden Cruiser. And then I go, but where am I going to go with this Madden Cruiser? I mean, yeah, I'd like to go to Burning Man. You know, I mean, there's like,
right?
There's a lot of festivals I'd go to. But other than that, I mean, it takes a lot of money to get the gas. And otherwise, I would just park it down the street. And, you know, I mean, outside the studio and have some fun. I mean, actually, I could have some fun with a Madden Cruiser, but, you know, but at the same time, you see people all the time. I don't want to drive through every state just cruising around. I mean, it might be fun, actually, to do shows on the road. That would be really cool.
Actually, that would be cool.
That would be fun.
And have the perspectives of actually Burgess logo.
This is a great idea. Yeah, and you have people come in from all over, different states come in and do shows. That'd be awesome.
I got an idea. What's the website where you raise money online? Gosh.
Don't go there.
So, yeah, so our listeners, you can go to the website. And
Don't go there. We're not doing that to you, okay? We're gonna make it ourselves. We're going to do it, even though we do need help from our listeners to listen and to comment and to come up with other ideas they want to hear. But all in all, to question the method questions ourselves. So when we do question the method of how we do what we do and why we do what we do, I mean, it's pointless because we actually are questioning ourselves. And when we question ourselves, we put a question mark in the whole road. We roadblock ourselves. There's another word that people use that for when men and women are talking and somebody else jumps in and tries to cut off the conversation. But you see what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that concept is right there. And by blocking that, we block our ability to continue to move forward.
It rhymes with a rock clocker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, Bill, it rhymes with rock clocker.
If y'all could just see the look on Ashley's face right
Lord
now.
Lord have mercy. God rest our souls. Yes, it does rhyme. But yes, we confuse it. And what happens is that, guess what? We get off task. Then we start looking at other people to give us inspiration on what we should do. And then we start feeling bad. And then we start looking into conspiracy theories and finding out what's all going on with the government and why we can't get out of bed and what's happening with this and what the Illuminati's doing and all this stuff's going on. And all of a sudden we get off target completely. And we go, well, we might as well just not even get out of bed because the world's going to hell in a handbasket anyway. So, and that's what happens when we start questioning ourselves. We start fundamentally questioning everything. And that takes us off target more,
behind
the eight ball and slowing us down.
Yeah, where does it stop? You know,
slippery slope, it doesn't stop. Yeah, and you have to sit there and stop and go, whoa. You know, drink some water, eat some turmeric, do what you got to do, and refocus your energy. And sometimes that's really hard to do when you've been on that slippery slope for so long, you know, because you go, my God, if I'm questioning the process, then I'm questioning the reasoning, then I'm questioning the universe, then I'm questioning what the government's doing, then, oh God, the government, you know, and then the next thing you know, you're at home on your couch with surveillance cameras wondering what's happening.
I was going to say, not even the couch, you know, like in the survival shelter, you know, the basement or whatever, you know, it's like, you know, with the surveillance cameras and the your supply of water and ramen noodles or whatever.
Yes.
You know, survivalist.
The survivalist. You're in a bunker somewhere.
Right, a bunker. That's what
I want to be on. That was that show with the old school, the Quakers, the Quaker Mafia or whatever that is.
The Amish Mafia.
Oh, the Amish Mafia.
Yeah, the Amish Mafia.
They should do the Quaker Mafia.
Them too. You know, we believe in peace unless you cross us.
My gosh. Can you see me being an Amish person? That'd be great.
I could see you being an Amish person.
You could,
actually.
Couldn't you?
Yes, I could.
Actually, you could, right? Yeah. I could do that.
You can do that.
I could do that. We'd have the Amish radio show, and you know, I'd be talking about the same stuff I'm talking about now. You know, but yeah, it's when we question the process, it slows us down. It gets us off target, right? And the reason why we do question the self is a lot of times it comes down to personal belief. Can I do this? Is this right? Is this the right life to live? Am I doing the right thing? Am I making a mistake? Am I doing the right thing? Does this have merit? Can I believe in this process? Will anybody believe in it? Will anybody like it? Like an artist creates a piece of artwork, and they create this artwork, and they hang it on a wall in a gallery, and then they wait to see what people say. And you have some people that are going to love it, and you have some people that are going to hate it, and you're going to have some people that walk right past it, and you're going to have some people that go, my God, what were they thinking? But all in all, that's what life's about, is that we create our artwork, right? Our life is our artwork. We create it. We put it out there for other people to see. And we have to sit there and stop looking for, oh, that's amazing. Oh, it's this and that. And just allow it to be. Yeah. I mean, it's us. And it's us. And there will be people that'll love it. And there'll be people that hate it. Just like that artwork. There's going to be somebody that buys it and somebody that snubs their nose at it and goes, my God. I mean, my cat could have done that. You know what I mean? And you know, you hear that stuff all the time, yeah. You know? My dog takes a poop better than that, you know? And you're just like, dude, come on, man. This person's trying their hardest to do what they got to do.
What can you say? Those kind of people are rock clockers.
Love that. When we return, we're going to talk about why we need to stop questioning ourselves. Because guess what? It's time to stop. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about how to live and what it means to live a originally unique life. You know, right before the break, we were talking about why we question ourselves. And, you know, and last but not least, we were talking about we question the method, the slow and steady. We question that, and we look for something else. And a lot of times we wonder, are we doing the right thing? Will it be accepted? Will people love it? And a lot of times, like I was saying, you got to put it out there. It's like your life is like a piece of artwork. You got to put it out there. Some people are going to love it. Some people aren't going to love it. Some people are going to want to be around it all the time, and other people are going to have nothing to do with it. And you have to understand that you're not going to win over everybody. And, you know, I used to have, like, my relatives used to say I should be a politician because everybody likes me. But I started realizing, I was like, you really just don't know me that well. Because, you know, if you knew me, there are certain things you might not like about me. And if you knew me really well, you know that I take a stand for things and against things that you might not agree with. But maybe all you know about me is the way I present myself. And because I love people. I love people all in all. But there's some people you can love, and they're not going to love you back. And there's some people that you're going to share your life with, and they're not going to want it.
And there's some people you love, but at one particular point or another, you may not like very much at that moment.
True.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, true. I've had that situation.
Anybody that's been married for a long period of time knows exactly what he's
right.
talking about. Anybody that has a brother or sister, you know, a mother or father, you know what
best
I'm talking
friend.
About. A best friend that you've had for a long time. So why do we need to stop questioning ourselves right now? Why is it paramount for you and me and Bill to stop questioning ourselves? And I think the first thing that we have to ask ourselves is, why do we question? Why? Because it stops us from moving ahead, and it doesn't make any sense. We're questioning because a lot of this is the eternal critic making us believe that maybe we're doing something wrong. Also, we're comparing ourselves to other people, assuming we should have more money, more riches, more fame, more anything than what we have. And I think media is to blame for a lot of that, but it's also our internal mechanism that tells us that. Instead of saying, I'm happy with Ashley, I'm happy with me, I'm happy with who I am, and I've done really well to get where I'm at, and I'm continuing to work, and I'm going to continue to be who I am, and I'm going to better myself on a daily basis, and I'm not going to worry about being better than other people. And I think that's where we have to really watch, because if we get into that whole, oh, well, I got this and they don't have that yet. Well, guess what happens? What happens when they get that? And now you're on the same playing field kind of, and you go, oh, God, what if they get the other stuff before I get the other stuff? You know, and it becomes like this whole game of who has more and who can hold on to it. And then you start finding yourself finding happiness when other people don't do well.
What's the German word? Schadenfreude? I guess that's how you pronounce it.
That rhymes with something.
Taking joy in other people's misery.
Wow, okay,
I will admit that there was one time only, where I indulged myself. in Schadenfreude, where in my previous career as an insurance agent, we had this sales manager who was over a lot of us agents, and he was just the most devious backstabbing SOB that ever come down the pike. And finally, we got a director who saw through his act and fired him. And literally, Ashley, I'm not even kidding you, group of us went to the bar next door and celebrated.
Really?
We celebrated it. You know, ding dong, the witch is dead. And we literally sang that. And now looking back on it, was it the most classy, mature thing to do? No.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of ashamed of myself for, you know, because I mean, the guy did it have a family.
It didn't make you feel good. You know, in the beginning, yes, sometimes in the beginning it makes you feel good, but in the end you don't feel good about it. It's kind of like when somebody cuts you off on the highway and gives you the bird, and you go ape crap, okay?
Right.
You go ape crap, and you go after them, okay? And you start yelling and screaming. It doesn't do any good for you. At the time, it might alleviate some sort of stress, but then later on, if you're a decent person, you feel bad about doing it. Like you thought, he has a family, you know? And I think we have to not question ourselves as much as we do, because we're on the right path. I mean, if you believe in what you're doing and things have been working so far, things actually will come to fruition. And I think we also have to figure out the fact that you're currently creating your life. There are no handbooks. No one else has done it better. So why are we looking around for the proper way to do it? Think about that. You're creating something. There are no handbooks right now. No one else has done it better, so why are you looking around for the proper way to do something, right? I think that just gets in the way of doing it. That's just aiding and abetting and not doing anything. Well, there's got to be a better way to do this, and it's probably not the way I'm doing it.
Yeah, you can be paralyzed by indecision.
True. I mean, I've been there before.
Yeah, so have I.
Don't know which way to go.
See, I'm cursed by the ability to see both sides of most issues. And you also know me. I like to play my spontaneity. Right. So sometimes I overanalyze things.
I see the sides to both issues. I see both sides, all sides to every issue.
Yeah, well, you're Gemini too, like me.
But I understand why. But does that, do you find yourself where you can't make a decision based on that?
Yes. Because, again, I overanalyze. And I want to, okay, what happens if this happens? And, you know, scenario A, scenario B, scenario Z, 5, you know? Exactly. And sometimes when I realize I'm doing that, I just have to, okay, stop. Just do something. You know, I get frustrated with myself.
Yeah, you have to stop. You have to stop and refocus and realize what is it that makes sense.
Right.
What's the right thing to do? And sometimes we can get caught up in that. And when we're looking for somebody to tell us what to do or some sort of document to provide classified information on what we should be doing, we're going to be there for a while waiting. That's just the way it is. And so we have to be able to say, okay, hey, guess what? We have to move on. We have to assess the fact that we are in the creation of something. And you can write down your memoirs and record how you feel, but you are creating something, and there's no right or wrong way of creating it. It's all about you. You know, and so instead of looking over there and saying, I don't know, maybe somebody did this better, maybe I need to look at it, maybe that's time for you to sit there and sit down and make a new game plan and figure out the path that you want to go down and go down it. Because, I know that sounds like just do it. It sounds like the whole Nike slogan, just do it. But you know what? To a degree, in order to do well what we need to do, we need to just do it. And I agree with you, Bill. I see all sides to things. But I always like to go with the side that helps, that's good for all concerned.
Right.
And sometimes there's things that I see that I don't need to make a judgment call on. And maybe it has nothing to do with me. You know, and I think that's another side too. But it's funny, you brought up earlier in the show, you brought up Edison. And I thought that was interesting because I know that Edison didn't ask around to his friends and family and coworkers. I don't think he was like, hey, you know, trying to invent this thing called the phonograph, you know?
Right.
Do you know how to do it? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm trying to invent this thing called a motion picture camera. I don't really know if I'm doing it right. Do you think there's a book out there that I could check out that tells me how to build a motion picture camera? I mean, because I'm confused. I don't know if I'm doing this right. I mean, I really just don't know. I mean, it's got to be somebody had to have done this before me. I mean, I just can't be the only person. And I think it's also interesting about how the whole concept of the light bulb. I mean, you know, he was dubbed, what, the Wizard of Menlo Park?
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't like, you know, oh Bill. It wasn't like Edison was over there going, oh Bill, you think I'm doing this right? I mean, what do you think? I'm trying to invent this thing, right, that creates electricity, so you turn it on and light comes on, and so it lights up your house.
So you don't have to have kerosene or fire to see by, yeah.
What do you think, Bill? And you know what? If we were friends, we'd be like, I don't know, dude. I mean, it goes back to the concept a lot of times friends and family don't understand when you're living an original life.
Mm-hmm.
And asking for their expertise is like going into the restaurant and asking the waiter what you should eat. Or just tell me what I should be drinking. And you know what's going to happen is usually you're not going to get what you want.
Yeah.
And people don't keep Ryan reading.
And then it's like, oh, that restaurant really wasn't all that good. Well, how do you know? You didn't even know what you wanted.
Right. You didn't even know where to go, probably, too.
Yeah.
I like when couples are in the car, like, I don't know, where do you want to go? I don't know, where do you want to go? I don't know. And so the thing is about this is everybody's like their own Edison. If you think about this, you are creating something new. And you might not be creating the motion picture camera. You might not be creating the light bulb. Got it? But you're creating a light bulb of your own ideas, your own genius. And to ask other people what to do just pigeonholes you into waiting on them to decide what you do. I mean, I had a woman 2 years ago or two and a half years ago that told me I should change my name.
I remember that.
Told me I should change my name.
Did not react well to that either.
She wanted me to be Ashley Bridges. And I said, there's already a Lloyd Bridges. There's a bunch of Bridges. There's a bunch of people in Hollywood with the last name Bridges.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would I want to change my name? She goes, well, that actually helps you out. And I go, I think Burgess is just fine. And yeah, at first they like screw me up in the head, like, what is this? But I was like, and she was like, I don't think I can say the name. And I'm like, it's Burgess. It's B-E-R-G-E-S. It's pretty easy. But had I sat there and let that woman tell me to change my name, where would I be at today?
Right.
I'd be pretty far from figuring a lot of stuff out.
You probably
out.
Would literally be under a bridge.
I don't know. Well, yeah. Yeah, that'd be crazy. But I mean, that'd be crazy. I mean, why would I be changing my name? I'm not P. Diddy. I don't even be changing my name. I like my name. And you know, that's like changing your identity. Don't ask people what to do unless you want to get off course, because they'll help you get off course real quick, because it's not about you. It's about them. So stay tuned. When we return, we're talking a little bit more about why we need to stop questioning ourselves and how to do it now. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. Show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking about living your own unique life. You know, what it means to live a originally unique and honest lifestyle. And, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of times we have to dare to live outside of the box, dare to be our own individual. And in that process, when we live our own life and we create our own life, it's like creating an artwork, a piece of artwork that we hang on the wall and we show others who we are. And some people will love it and some people will gravitate to it and other people will not like it. And they won't gravitate to it and they'll walk away. Some people will make comments and other people will make not so good comments. But the point is that you got to get in where you fit in. And when you think about it, when we think about what it means to live an originally unique and awesome life, is that we have to realize that no one else is doing it. There are no reference books. Your friends and family might not understand. There might not be a sounding board for you that seems like the right option. As well as we might feel a little isolated in the process of the creation, of creating our own unique life. But you know what? We're cutting edge. We're avant-garde. We're on point. Doing our own thing and living a life worth living. And I think those are all very important things to realize when you're living a unique life, that those things will happen. Some things will be good and some things you will feel like you're suffering from. As well as, why do we question ourselves when we live this uniquely original life? And you know, we do that because we don't think we're doing the right thing. We don't think we're carrying it through right. We don't think that we're living correctly because we wonder if we're doing it right. Are we doing it like others would do? And we wonder if we can get any help. We don't feel like we have any help. We feel like we're going through uncharted waters, you know, not understanding the unknown. And as Bill says, the fear of the unknown. And we feel like we're behind the eight ball a lot, because any time that we're doing this uncharted life, whether it's because we changed courses of life, we changed our career, maybe we actually overcame some sort of health condition that we're now alive and more vibrant than we ever have, you know, a death sentence that we avoided. You know, maybe we changed lifestyles. Maybe we changed families. Maybe we had to go through a long divorce. Whatever it was that we went through, and now we're on the other side, we become stronger. But in that process, we still worry. Are we doing the right thing? We have that fear factor, as well as we fear that sometimes we're behind the eight ball because we started later in life than some people did. Is that true? I don't know. But could you have actually started something that meaningful if you hadn't have gone through those things? That's something to be questioned.
I know that if I hadn't gone through my stint in the insurance business, I wouldn't be here right now.
You wouldn't be here. Yeah, because you wouldn't have gone through the pain and the agony of what you had to go right. through to realize what you wanted to do.
But I did learn very important life lessons doing that job, and I've kept them with me. So some things are, you know, like, okay, here's what to do in a certain situation, but a lot of times it's like, okay, what not to do.
And that's just important, too.
Yeah.
And if you use it in this situation, too, what you'll accept in life and what you won't accept, sometimes you know what you won't accept more so than you know what you actually will accept, because we have to go through things that we might not be proud of or happy about to figure out how to make ourselves better and how to change our life. You know, another thing, too, is that we feel like we should be there faster. We feel like we should go from point A to point B faster. And a lot of times we feel like we should be there. We feel like we could take like maybe the faster route, but it normally doesn't get us there. And a lot of times when we try to take the faster route, we listen to somebody else tell us what the faster route is. And guess what? It doesn't materialize. A lot of times we do a lot of extra work, and it doesn't go much of anywhere.
Well, you know, the old fable, the tortoise and the hare. Okay, it's just as true today as it was 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, you know, whenever that was told. Nice and slow and steady will normally get you there faster than trying to, you know, take shortcuts and, you know, trying to do as fast as you can.
My dad used to tell me a childhood bedtime story every night before we went to bed. And instead of the tortoise and the hare, it was the rabbit and the turtle. And the rabbit always won because the rabbit was better and faster. And the turtle never won because the turtle was overweight and slow.
Oh.
And so I grew up thinking that my whole life, and people would be like,
"He just totally ruined that story." He totally ruined the purpose of the story.
And I remember I'd be like, "No, you got to go faster. Be like the rabbit." And everybody's like, "How did you think that?" And I tell people, they're like, "Wow, totally off."
That, you know, a real quick tangent. That reminds me of a girl that I worked with back when I was in the insurance company. And she's like, she honestly thought it was Yosemite Sam, not Yosemite Sam, Yosemite Sam, because that's what her mother taught her. And I don't know why we were talking about it one day, but she was going, "Oh, I used to like Yosemite Sam." We're like, "Who?" "No, it's Yosemite." And she argued with us like for 30 minutes. She passionately argued. "No, it's not. You're just lying to me. It's Yosemite." She did not believe us.
It's Target. It's Target. Depends on how you look at
right?
it. That's hilarious. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, people will argue things that they've been told their whole life, and it's hard for them to go around that cave. You know, the whole allegory is to go out there and realize there is life outside of that.
Yeah.
You know, we also question that method. Slow and steady is good. We have to go with it. Stop questioning it. When we question, we stop. When we stop, we get behind the eight ball. When we get behind the eight ball, it takes us time to recover. It's just the way it is. So stop stopping and continue to keep going, because you got something together. You figured out something. Now just roll with it. You know, the reason why we need to stop questioning ourselves tonight is that there's no reason to question. It stops us from moving. It stops us from moving forward, and it doesn't make any sense. Okay, think about that. Why would you question what you're doing, being that you're creating that? Who's going to question you? And who should you stop to ask questions from? Like I talked to you about the waiter, like the 7-Eleven attendant. Why ask them what you should drink? Why ask them what you should eat? Figure out for yourself. And you know what? It might not be the best thing on the menu, but you picked it out. And the point is, it's about you. It's not about asking around and figuring out what's best, what other people think is best for you. It's about what's best for you. We also have to realize that we're currently creating this life. There are no handbooks, okay? No one else has done it better. So why are we looking around for the proper way to do something that only you are doing? Okay, to me, it's a way of putting off the inevitable. I've really watched myself now when I do that, because I realize that I'm actually putting off working and going forward for some reason. Maybe it's because I want to sabotage myself. Maybe it's because I don't believe that I can actually achieve it. Maybe I'm actually scared of success. There's a lot of reasons why we do what we do as humans. Okay,
a lot of people are scared of success, actually.
Yeah, because what happens when you get successful?
Right.
And the funny thing is that if we're doing something to get there, we're already successful. So it's really no change. It's like saying, I'm going to be happy when. I'm going to be happy then when I do this. I'm going to be happy when I get this. But what happens when you get that? It doesn't change. You have to be happy and content with yourself now. You have to understand that there is no handbook. That you have figured this out and go with the knowledge that you know something. The more we question ourselves, the more our internal self questions ourselves, the more we don't have anything to live for on that term. Because we've questioned ourselves, we don't respect ourselves. And there's a certain point that when you're doing the right thing and you're doing right by others and you're not narcissistic and you don't have your head in the clouds, and you're actually being honest and genuine person, and you realize that what you're doing is good, then continue to do it. You know, Bill had brought up earlier about Edison, and you don't see him back in the day asking around about, hey man, what's up? Do you know how to help me make this phonograph? Or what about that motion picture camera? Or better yet, this bulb thing that I'm creating that's going to produce some light? Do you know how to make that work? I mean, I've been trying over here for a while, and I'm starting to give up here. You didn't hear him say that. And I think it's also interesting. I mean, they didn't have, back in Edison's time, they never had that book, the Four Dummies series, you know?
Right, yeah, Light Bulbs for Dummies.
You know, Edison's like, oh, look at that, Light Bulbs for Dummies.
Just what I needed.
Motion picture cameras for dummies. And I think it's funny, it's like, one, don't define yourself as a dummy, and two, don't look to a handbook to tell you how to live your life. You create the memoirs. Don't look at a handbook. You create the handbook. So stop looking to others to show you the way that you already inherently know. That's the thing, is that a lot of times we already inherently know what we need to know, but we constantly, inherently want to ask other people. And it doesn't work. And when you begin to allow yourself to have the personal power, when you begin to allow yourself to have the personal power that you have, you're then able to see it and use it to your benefit. And I want to say that again for everybody listening, because I think this is pinnacle. Stop looking to others to show you the way. When you begin to allow yourself the personal power that you have, you're able to see that power and you're able to use it for your benefit. You have power within you. You are a powerhouse. You have the ability to create anything, or you have the ability to stand still. Continue to create. Continue to be an awesome person that offers light and love in this universe and that lives a uniquely original life. Awesome show, Bill.
Thank you, Ashley. And a final piece of advice, don't be a rock clocker.
Yeah, I love that. Live your original life, exactly, and I love that, Bill. You are definitely an original and unique person.
Thank you.
For everybody listening tonight, continue to live that uniquely original life. Be yourself and believe in yourself. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.